Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think Babe Laufenberg just pulled off such a good Twitter tease for his weekly segment that Mike Golic responded to it about 2 minutes ago. The only good part left of that ESPN morning show was Mike Golic Sr. It wasn't the other Mike that was on there, but Mike Golic Sr., who retired from the morning show, responded to Laufenberg. Babe put up a picture of him, Troy Aikman, and Roger Staubach, said one of these guys is joining Sean and RJ at 8:40. Tune in and find out which one. And Golic, Babe, just responded, great tease, well done. You know Mike Golic like that?
No, I don't, actually. But that's pretty funny. But you know what I am going to do one day, boys? We're going to do this show, as you well know, every Thursday at 8:40. One day I'm going to have Roger call. I'll put that up every week. I don't think Troy can call because he's obligated to another station. But I'll have Roger call in and handle my duties. Would that be okay with you guys?
That would actually not be okay because as Troy is about to play you, Roger has been on many times, and I still don't think he knows one of our names. Right, Troy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Roger wants to call and maybe pay for my kids, you know, college education, that'd be awesome. But, yeah, as Sean's pointing out, you know, Roger, he doesn't really know Sean that well. Let me see if I can find it, Sean. I've got so many clips in here in this thing. Yeah, Roger, you know Sean and RJ. Is that correct?
Thanks, Shannon and RJ.
Oh, Shannon and RJ.
Oh, so there you go.
That's well, also babe, the restraining order that he got against you when you told him how well he smelled.
Yeah, that was weird.
Troy, What's wrong with complimenting a man's cologne? You know, can a guy smell good?
Babe,
what type of cologne do you?
Yeah, I don't wear cologne for the most part. Like, I have one bottle that has probably lasted me 10 years. I'm sure it's an environmental hazard by this time. But I got a buddy, Ed Merrick, high school friend. He puts on, I swear to you, he puts on like 53 different colognes at the same time. Every time I meet him, and he's a good buddy, and we see each other a lot, considering the fact that he's in California. He's only about 30 minutes from the Cowboys training camp, lives in a place called Westlake, so I see him quite a bit.
Ooh.
Obviously, when the Cowboys are out there. But I always think, like, the bottle broke on his head or something, because you can smell him, like, from 4 miles away. It's like the way a bear can smell things. It's crazy. Okay, I got to take up one thing with you guys quickly. And, Troy, let me just tell you also, I would have paid for the college educations, if I had been invited to the weekend trip.
We've never been invited either, babe.
Yeah, Troy's taking a boys' trip, and apparently I'm not one of the boys.
No. If you know how to play 42, you don't mind riding some four-wheelers and firing off some ARs, then you're more than welcome to come out.
Now, where is the Four Seasons located that we're going to?
No, it's not a Four Seasons. it's like near Rusk. It's way out in East Texas.
Babe, you wear that hat. You wear that floppy hat that gives off the impression like you sleep out in the woods and get up and fly fish in the morning. Are you a pretty boy or are you a woods grinder out there?
Well, once upon a time, we did a lot of camping growing up, but was because we had no money. So, you know, a campsite was like $3 a day or whatever. So we would camp. We went to Yosemite. I grew up in Southern California. We'd go up to Yosemite and all these places. So, I was that kind of guy. I will tell you, I was on a fishing trip with my son in Colorado this past summer, and there's a show called Mountain Men. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but it's one of those, it's my guilty pleasure, and it's these guys living off the land. So I said to him, we're up in a little place up in Basalt, Colorado, a little hotel. And anyway, I said, you know, Joe Willie, I said, I could be a mountain man one day. He said, Dad, you wear slippers in a hotel room. You're not a mountain man.
Oh, my God.
And I do. I bring my slippers. So I may not have made it on this trip, Troy. Okay, hey, I got one thing to take up with you guys, because I do listen. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you gave Kellen Moore. What was the grade for Kellen?
I think a C plus, B minus, C plus. There, I think I settled on a C plus.
I mean, and again, I'm not here to defend him. I'm not here, but they just scored 40 points. They had 33 first downs. They had 570 yards of total offense, and they were 5 of 6 in the red zone. I mean, what would like a B or a B plus be?
Babe, 29 to 10 at halftime. They were lifeless against the Rams. Okay.
But they didn't end the game at the half.
They did not. That's true. That's an exclusive. They didn't.
I mean, the Falcons, you know, would have won the Super Bowl if we said at halftime we're going to call it, right? So
I count that as a win. That to me is a Super Bowl victory for them. That's me.
Just roll this around in your brain. 33 first downs, 40 points with a drive never starting in Atlanta territory because they can't take the ball away. We all know that.
Yep.
5 of 6 in the red zone. I don't know what more you can do. And the fumbles aren't on him. It's like Parcells said, I don't coach penalties. The fumbles aren't on Kellen Moore.
That's very true.
That's what put him in that hole. But anyway,
you're right on that one. I guess my counter to that or my question to you would be, you know, they haven't – a lot of those points came when they're in the hurry-up, and they haven't been good when they've been
standard
coming
offense.
Out of games in standard offense. Yeah, I mean, 17 points the first week, and then the standard offense last week was not very good. On an improvisational offense, they've been fantastic, right? But when it's just a standard offense, they've left a lot to be desired.
Well, they're the only team that they fell behind last week.
They are the only team in the league that fell behind.
Yeah, they were the only team that fell behind and got away from their standard offense. And anyway, I don't know what more you can do.
All right, Dave is not a fan of the Kellen Moore grading so far. But Ed Werder retweeting your tweet like Mike Golick. So there's something about your tweets. You could come and do that for our show as a part-time basis. Babe Loffenberg here on the Fan. I thought you were going to start off with your turnover nugget that I retweeted yesterday. You want to talk about that with the Cowboys and turnovers?
Oh, which one? Sorry.
Wow.
The one that you tweeted, which you've forgotten about.
I tweet a number of stats. Which one?
Yes. That the Cowboys, was it 88? Was that the number?
Oh, they've gone 5 straight years with 10 or fewer interceptions. 88 years it's been since a team has done
five
that. 88
years. Wow.
Five years, 10 or fewer. 88 years. And I don't know where that goes back to. You know, I couldn't do the math when we go from 2010 and subtract 88. And, you know, it's funny. So many of these records, you know, they didn't keep stats on certain things. They didn't keep takeaways or they didn't, you know, sacks didn't become an official statistic until, I believe, 1982. So some of these things, you know, go back only as far as they started keeping that particular stat. But here's a good one for you. RJ, you like your stat? Here it is, baby. Ready?
I love them. Bring it.
Okay, we know Cowboys fell behind 20-0 in the first quarter. We're down at the half. I believe it was 29-10. Okay, since 2012, and basically Pete Carroll. Well, that 2012 was the year they drafted Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. Mm. When the Seahawks have a 4-point lead at the half, okay, 4-point, they are 57-0.
Ooh.
They have never lost a game leading by 4 at the half since Russell Wilson has taken over. That is incredible. And you can understand if it was a double digit, hey, when they lead by 10. A 4-point lead and the game's over. Go home. Cowboys can just get on their plane and come back a little bit early.
Babe, what have you seen from Seattle on tape and specifically Jamal Adams? A lot of Cowboy fans are looking at his sack numbers, his in-the-box presence. Me and RJ only care about what he does on the back end against the pass. What have you seen from Seattle and Jamal?
Well, it's a good question, and they play him down quite a bit against the run. He's almost like a third linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, they play a 4-3, but nobody plays, as you well know. The base defense for the Cowboys is 4-2. They don't play 3 linebackers. And Seattle does a lot of that as well. And But, you know, they'll play him in on the run. They'll blitz him. They do a lot with him. I remember when Greg Williams, remember that, said, oh, he's going to get bored out there. He's going to have nothing to do. He's kind of taking a shot at Jamal leaving and the way Seattle plays their defense, I guess. But he's everywhere. I mean, he's everywhere. You know, he had 6.5 sacks last year as a safety with the Jets. That was crazy. But, yeah, he's a phenomenal player. Bobby Wagner, same thing. Those two guys are just make plays everywhere. But no, he's been very disruptive. And I watched the first game against Atlanta, because obviously Cowboys playing Atlanta week two. So I've seen both games, and man, he's just everywhere. He's just a great, great player.
And in coverage?
Well, he's a bigger guy, so that's not necessarily his forte, but they don't put him in a bunch of that. You know, obviously at some point you cover as a safety, but again, he's playing that strong safety a little bit more like, I don't want to say a traditional strong safety. You know, now they're kind of almost interchangeable, both safeties. They got to cover. You know, there's going to be 3-4 wide receivers on the field for a lot of teams many times. So you have to be able to cover. He's not, let me just say this. He's not a liability in coverage. If you say, well, we'll just pick on him, that's not going to happen. But his best thing is being disruptive around the line of scrimmage, no question. And behind the line of scrimmage.
If they wanted to, can they force him into covering them? Like, can they scheme to him to where they're forcing him to man up on someone?
Well, if you go 4 wides or you play 3 wides and keep your tight end flexed the whole time, but I don't know that you necessarily want to change the way you play offense just to try to get him to cover somebody. Again, he's not a liability in coverage, so I don't know that that would necessarily be the way to go. Yes.
Babe, how big is the gap right now between Russell Wilson and Dak playing quarterback?
Boy, that's a great question. That if you watched this past game, you would say the gap closed, and it does go week to week. I think the only thing is the biggest difference, obviously, is Russell Wilson has done it over a long period of time. And, well, Dak had one 8-8 season. Everything else has been a winning season for Dak. Russell Wilson, his worst year is 9 wins. 9 wins.
Wow.
I think 7 of the 8 has been a 10-win or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year they were playing San Francisco that final week of the season for, you know, the home field advantage and the top seed. They went 11-5, and they lost that last game. But I think people forget maybe how close they were to being, you know, that team and having one fewer game in the playoffs and all those kind of good things that come with, you know, that top seed. But I'm going to throw one more at you guys, okay? So with the onside kick obviously became a big topic of discussion from this past week, as it should. Pete Carroll has had 20 onside kicks in his time at Seattle. You know how many he recovered?
0.
1. You know where it came against?
Us.
Green Bay. In the NFC Championship game in 2014. Yep. Brandon Bostic went up to cover it, bobbled it. He's supposed to go block. Jordy Nelson's right behind him, ready to get the kick, and the game's over. So that game goes to overtime. I mean, Green Bay has another Super Bowl appearance. Holmgren. Mike McCarthy does. Aaron Rodgers does. If they just field an onside kick, he's converted one, and it came against Holmgren. I don't know why. Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy also, Seattle is his little personal house of horrors. If you remember the Monday night game, the Fail Mary, the infamous Fail Mary, with the replacement officials, that was Golden Tate coming down with it on the Hail Mary, and Green Bay loses that game. And that ultimately got the regular officials back because they said, okay, the NFL said, okay, what do you guys want? We'll pay whatever it is because we can't have this. We can't have our games decided like this. But anyway, so McCarthy can't have good feelings about heading to Seattle.
Hey, we got a minute left. Choppy doesn't believe. Sir. Choppy thinks that the fans for home field advantage are overrated, that it's really about the travel. You've been to Seattle numerous times, maybe the best home field in the league. How do you feel about that? What's the bigger factor? Is it traveling or is it fans in the stands?
I think it's the fans in the stands, and that place, as we all know, is crazy loud. I think it energizes the home team, number one. Number two, it makes it really difficult on the offense. Your silent counts, it changes up the way you can play. It changes up your audible system. It can get pretty frenetic when you've got those people screaming at that decibel level. Travel is somewhat of an issue, but you know, it's so easy now. You fly in a charter. There's a bus there. You stay at a nice hotel. That the travel's a little bit overrated. Now, we'll say this too: Seattle very quickly, that was a dominant home field advantage. But in the last 25 at home, they're just 15-10, and that's obviously with fans there. So,
babe,
there's no question it helps you going out there and not having to deal with their fans.
Babe, keep the great teases coming. You're getting us national attention. Thank you, and have a great call.
Usually I get national attention for all the wrong reasons.
Wrong reasons. That's right. Babe Laufenberg every Thursday at this time. Ed Werder, Mike Golic,
there
liking
you go.
Babe's tease for Sean and RJ.
Thanks, Choppy. Sean and RJ.
No, Roger.
Stop it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.